We're back to the Neil Haley Show here, and also the Media Giant Effect. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Dalal Akouri. Dr. Dalal, how are you? And I know you're excited about our guest today.
Wow, what that is exciting. I'm so
Well,
excited to be here with both of you today. I'd love to be introducing you, Michael Learned. I am excited to introduce our guest, Michael Learned, today. You are incredible. You're a four-time Emmy winner, and for the best hit TV show, The Waltons. And you're currently now the grandmother of the Dahmer, the monster.
yeah,
I
guys,
know. I
Dom.
mean, it's incredible. And I am so happy that you're here with us today. I really am. And we're also celebrating those 50th anniversary today. I mean, is it today or when is it exactly for the Waltons?
Well, we're getting together on Wednesday, the Waltons kids and I kids. They're adults now with their own kids, but
Wow.
yeah, we're all getting together on the 17th.
Can you really believe
At the
that?
Hollywood Museum, yeah.
Is it
So it'll
possible?
be
Can you imagine that?
yeah, no, yes, I can, because we've been very close all these years, you know. So we are like a second family for each other.
Great. Well, I wanted to ask you, how did you really feel about that audition of being the Dahmer grandmother? How did it feel? What made you decide that this is a role you would love to play? Because it must have been hard.
Well, it's a job.
Yeah.
I'm
I
an
love that.
actor. And if a job comes along, man, we take it. I'm so sorry. I don't know what's going on here.
No worries. No,
Sorry
yeah.
about that.
When
You
you
really look beautiful
absolutely. So what I
for you.
was going to ask you also is, you know, when you took the gig, it just had to have been something where, okay, this is a role, but ultimately to think of Jeffrey Dahmer and to play, we didn't know that backstory of the grandmother at all. You know, that's a pretty challenging role, especially with, you know, the thought process and all that. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I tried to do research on her, but there was nothing really. There were some pictures, home movies of her, so I got a sense of how she held herself and everything. But and she loved cats. She seemed to always have a cat. And you know, there's really nothing about her, but I do have a grandson, two actually, that I love very much. So I could relate to that, and that's what I played. And Evan Peters in our scenes was so lovable, it wasn't hard to love him. And she was in total denial about what he was doing. I mean, if I was smelling an odor of a decaying body coming up from my basement, I would go downstairs and check it out. I, Michael. And she apparently never did. So she just kind of didn't want to see what she didn't want to see. And I can understand that too.
Definitely. And you know, you think about that, and I'm going to go to Dr. Dalal about this as well, is that you think about specifically enough about this, Michael, is that yeah, she was denying that because of all the times that Dahmer was performing experiments as a child. So you know, you could have animal smell that could be semi that smell, but she just didn't want to know about his lifestyle, understand his lifestyle. At that time, people just didn't want to talk about that type of lifestyle, meaning like
Well,
in the community of
she didn't anyway. She didn't. And I guess it worked for her. I mean, it wouldn't work for me. I'd say, what's going on down there? I'm going down to check it out. And but for her, I guess she just somehow. I mean, this is a TV show, so I don't know in real life whether Catherine Dahmer, you know, whether she actually investigated or didn't. I doubt that she did. I think she was really not wanting to see. And I mean, you can't, I couldn't believe that of any of my grandsons. You know, I would be in total denial. And if somebody came and told me that, I wouldn't believe them. I would not believe it. Because I
So
love my grandkids, you know.
you believe really that absolute love she had could have blinded her? Or did she really, was she that innocent and she really did not even think about it? Or what would, by you acting her role, How did you ask you, what question did you ask yourself in order for you to be able to, you know, ignore the fact that there is a smell or ignore the fact that there is something suspicious? Is it infinite love? Is it blinding yourself? Or what would you think? I mean, it's hard to really think what other people feel and think, but in your heart, what do you think could have happened there?
I remember my young son, Lucas, when he was about maybe 5 or 6, and he came to me and he said, "Mom, if I killed somebody, would you turn me in?"
Oh, man.
When a kid asks you that question, you go, "Oh, God, please put the right words in my mouth." And I said, I had to think about it. And I said, "Lucas, I would turn you in, but I'd come and visit you every day."
Wow, that's power. I mean, that's
a good answer, don't you think? It was God-driven. But, you know, I'd still love you, but I wouldn't let you go on doing what you were doing. So that kind of denial that Catherine Dahmer was in, I guess worked for her, but it wouldn't for me.
It definitely wouldn't work in that thought process. What has been the feedback, especially the audience that loves you in the Waltons playing this role? Was it a surprise to people? Because, you know, people, how many generations of Walton fans are out there? And then they're saying, there is, what's going on here? You know what I mean?
You know, our scenes together are really very sweet.
They are truly, they are.
We're not, there's nothing nasty about her relationship with her grandson. She's just in complete denial. She just doesn't want it. I mean, he's dragging up a garbage bag full of body parts and she somehow goes, "What, that smell?" And she doesn't want to know. And if it worked for her, good, but it just wouldn't work for me. I mean, she must have somewhere had a sense that,
oh yeah, maybe she could have been going on. Lose a little bit of her understanding and things. We just don't know that backstory. And that's what's amazing about this show, is that there was another movie on Dahmer's life that was a movie that was pretty well portrayed in certain parts, but really you got the full picture from this series and in so many ways. That's what I was blown away by. I haven't finished it. I was watching it on vacation and didn't get to it. I have to finish up because it changes the trajectory of it and the storylines, because it's going through 3 different storylines throughout. And that's makes it interesting, right? In a lot of ways, it reminds me of something that's not as morbid with Young Rock that, you know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson's producing with the on NBC, where they show his life in 3 different phases. That's almost what they did with Jeffrey. And that kind of gave you a perspective of why he became who he was, right?
That is correct. It's a very painful.
Sorry, I'm choking on something.
Okay.
I think
take your time. We're good. We just want to make sure you have some water. And
I watched some of the interviews with Jeffrey because I couldn't get anything on her. And he was very persuasive, and it was so interesting because he's so articulate and so good looking in a horrible kind of a way. Thank you so much. And he it was almost like he was trying to figure it out himself. He was trying to analyze, well, there must be something wrong with my brain or something. It was chilling. It was chilling that he was so removed and so detached from these horrendous, horrifying acts that he did. And in a former life, I took in a couple of boys that were vulnerable kids. And, you know, they're just prey. They're looking for love. They just want somebody to understand them, somebody to be there for them. And then this good-looking, charming guy comes along, and these kids are just... Anyway, it's tragic. It's really tragic.
It was. It is really tragic. And I hope we don't see any of that anymore. But
we can figure out a way to catch serial killers a lot earlier based on all the technology we have now compared to then, Michael. And also the thought process, when you agree, Dr. Dalal, that, you know, it's much easier to catch people with medical types of things compared to back in the 80s, right? To figure out.
Oh, yeah.
How can you stop something before it's happened, though? I mean, how can you catch a serial killer before he's killed? You could, you know,
you catch him after once. or twice, and I don't think you get to get away with it as further. Yeah, as fast.
I think after the second one, it's as sad as it may be, unless you have some signs that would really help you to determine there's an issue or not. It's very, very hard before the second, unfortunately, and as sad as it may be. But we also have to watch what people are watching right now. I mean, there's so much craze about everything the kids are watching, especially with all these, those computer games that they play. And it doesn't really feel real. So we're killing our emotions. We're killing our morals. There is so much confusion because children are not raised by family anymore. Especially nowadays, I'm not talking about even back then, but I'm talking about nowadays. There is some concerns that I personally have, being a pediatrician myself and training as a pediatric oncologist, and seeing how much the change that we're exposed to, the family dynamic is changing, the technology is changing so fast. Kids are very fast. Attention deficit is becoming easier to get, just because everything is moving. So it really that was a very important story that you really accepted to act, because you're helping a lot of people to become more aware that can happen, and it can happen a lot easier than most people even know. So as hard as it was for you to take that role, I think it really exposed a lot of people.
Well, I think we have to as a group of people, we have to be aware of what's going on around us. And when we see a child being abused, you have to speak up. I always do. And it doesn't make me popular, but if I see somebody abusing a child, they're going to hear from me.
That's huge. When you say, oh my gosh, and we have to speak up when we see a child being abused. We have to speak up when we're seeing things that are not normal, that normal, not society, but that our laws in the United States that's happening, not some people see as normal and not normal, Michael, more about, and Dr. Dalal, more about people that it's just, this is not in the law. This is not right. This is not the proper way to raise a child. And we got to speak up.
Well, I agree with that. And I think the Waltons, it's a good, should be shown in schools, actually. I think they were good parents on that show. It was kind of a role model. Some people come up to me and say, you taught me how to be a mother. And I say, no, I didn't, but my character did, maybe. I just feel with kids, if you see a kid, you got to speak up, because you can't do anything maybe legally about what's happening on the street if you see some guy bonking his kid in the head or something. But the kid knows that you saw it, and the kid knows that you spoke up, and that what is happening to him is not
it's
right.
It's not okay. Yeah.
Exactly, doctor. Oh my God, I've never been this popular. I don't know what's going on. I apologize.
That's okay. That's why there's the editing room for
it. I'm so sorry. All of a sudden,
thank
just
goodness all the different editing process I could do. No worries about it. That's it. It is.
You really are popular, and we're very grateful to spend time talking to you, especially about highlighting what you've done so far. It's just wonderful.
And so, how much of you? So, I was going to ask Dr. Dalal, and I'm going to ask Michael this: how much of you are you Olivia Walton in real life? What would you say?
Well, I can bake bread. I loved my kids. I was a good mom, and my kids have grown up to be really nice men. And now I have 5 grandkids, and I adore them. The kids, my kids, I was very lucky because my kids were my joy. I loved my kids. I adored them. I had fun. I remember washing dishes and looking out the window, and my son Luke, when he was about eight, and his friend Hattie, and there was a dog, our dog between them, this big dog, and the two kids are sitting there talking, with each had a hand on the back of our dog Babe, and just thinking, this is heaven, this is just heaven. So I'm lucky that way. I never found it a chore. And I did have help when I was working with a wonderful woman who was like a mother to me and a grandmother to my kids. So, you know, I had the best of both worlds.
That is it's really a gift. Now, how do you look beautiful. I mean, how were you able to stay so healthy and so pretty, and no one, I mean, I'm also a little older, but nobody can tell, but how did you maintain that beautiful look? And is it because of your lifestyle, or is it because of your happy nature? Because you're a very kind person. What made you stay healthy, young looking, and a happy person like you are?
Well, I do eat well. My mother grew up in Europe, so we were brought up with fresh. In fact, my father grew organic vegetables and things, so we were fed well as children. And my mother was a great cook. She cooked Italian food, and she's not Italian, but she cooked Italian food. And I'm married to a beautiful guy now. I've been through some hard times in my life. I'm not a happy person. I was a happy child, but I'm not a happy person. I tend to be, you know, I tend toward depression, so I have to work at that. But I think anybody who's sensitive to anything other than having a good time and being out of it, I think you do have your moments of grief and sad. I just lost my dog, and I'm just walking around moping and crying. I feel like I've lost my best friend, although my best friend is sitting behind me right here. I don't know if you can see my husband. That's John.
Of course, he's very handsome.
John. Yes, he is. And a very, very wonderful, wonderful man.
Do you know, what do you do about that depression? A lot of time when people have a little depression, it could be due to food that you're probably missing. There is some food that is really high in tryptophan that helps to raise up your mood. Like, a lot of time, turkey or bananas, they are very rich in tryptophan, and that helps to boost up the serotonin. Also, the gut is where most of the serotonin is made. So eating a little bit healthier, and your lifestyle, working the heart, as you know, at times, it makes us ignore our gastrointestinal tract. So have you ever considered really studying a little bit more about better food for mood?
Yeah, I have. I mean, of course I have over the years, but I'm being very naughty lately in my old age. I eat too much sugar, and that causes all kinds of you know, and I know it, but I still like my sugar, and I figure I'm old, so I get to have it.
Don't say that. You're not old. You know,
in years I'm old. In heart I'm not, but yeah, I eat pretty well. My mother, as I said, food was always fresh, lots of salad, lots of fruit, protein, not a lot of fat. And I just haven't done much cooking lately. My husband is always on a diet, it seems, and he doesn't need to be. Look at him. He's gorgeous. But, you know, so I loved cooking for my kids. I loved it back in the day, and now cooking is kind of boring. So,
but exercising also raises the mood. Dark chocolate is really good for your mood. So,
certainly for mine,
dark chocolate is really, really good, especially if you get 85%. And it will have very little sugar. So that may be another mood enhancer that you may want to, but also exercising is really, really.
Oh yeah, I do believe in exercise. I used to dance. Unfortunately, because of the pandemic, a lot of classes are closed, but we're hoping to start up again. And I went to dance almost every day and
it's
love it.
That's good.
It's taken longer, right, to get to the different exercising things compared to other places in the country.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's all kind of closed down because of nobody, everybody's scared, and it's hard to dance with a mask on your face.
So, Michael, what would you want to say to your Walton fans right now, especially 50th anniversary? What would you like to tell them?
I just would like to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving and a mellow Christmas. Don't go crazy. I always do, but I'm telling you not to. Christmas. And just that I have not met a fan of the Waltons that I didn't like. And some of them have become lifelong friends. So wow. You know, I feel very grateful for that. Yeah.
Excellent. And where is the best place to find info on you? Are you on social media, Michael, that people can check you out?
I'm on Facebook, I think, but I don't really post much. And IMBD has kind of my resume, I think. I don't know. I don't check that stuff. So I think IMBD has kind of my, what I've done. Isn't that funny in this country? It's about what you've done. It isn't about who you are.
Exactly. And the projects, any other projects you're coming up that you can you say about? Anything else, other acting you're going to be doing later?
I'm hoping to go to Canada. I was supposed to go this summer, but I fell and broke my wrist to do a Golden Pond with Hal Linden. And so I don't know whether that's going to come back or not, but unfortunately I couldn't do it. So I'm hoping that'll happen. I love working there. I've been there before and I love going there. So I'm hoping for that. And if not, I'll just wait for the damn phone to ring and hope it does.
It's going to after what you've
done. Actor's life, you know.
Hey. This is the thing. Whenever an agent sees a specific role, after what, how well you played as Jeffrey Dahmer's grandmother, trust me, the phones will keep ringing off the hook, as we've seen in this interview today. So I appreciate
thank you so
it,
much. Yeah, it was really fun talking to you.
Yeah, it was fun talking to you guys, and nice meeting all of you. Okay.
Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you. I wish you the best. Get your hormones checked.
Thank you. I will. Thank you.
All right, take care, guys. All right, you're listening to Watch the Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.